Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Whenever Whitsunday comes around, I always think of Mama Cat muttering about, if it's Whitsunday, then why is the altar covered in red?
I have a question for you. How long ago did she go home?
Was it about 2008, about 8 years ago?
Was it that long ago?
I think that's right.
You're older than you thought. Oh, my God. Yeah, I got to pull my teeth in it tightly. That's amazing. Wow.
Yeah. She makes a lasting impression. Yeah. But anyhow, the sermon for Pentecost or Whitsunday actually addresses Mama Cat's little problem with the color of the day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was given by the late Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, who was metropolitan about the turn of the millennium, and he gave this in 1999. Whitsunday celebrates the occasion on which the Holy Ghost came down upon his disciples. Jesus promised to send them a comforter, a strengthener. At the Ascension, he told them not to rush home to Galilee, but to wait in Jerusalem until he kept this promise, until they received power from on high. Pentecost was a Hebrew spring festival which took place 50 days after Passover. Jews believed that God gave the law to Moses on Mount Sinai at Pentecost. By the time of Jesus, Pentecost had come to be a celebration of the law. The disciples had no intention of being anything other than Jews, so they were celebrating this Jewish festival when God appeared among them as a rushing mighty wind and as tongues of fire. Whitsunday is a peculiarly Anglican title for this holiday. The custom in the Mediterranean world was to have baptisms on Easter. It was too cold to dunk people in the river in England just then, so it was much healthier to wait 50 more days until Pentecost when the river was warmer. The newly baptized wore white robes, hence the name White Sunday, Whitsunday. A 14th century English monk speculated that the day was called Whitsunday because it was the day on which God endowed his disciples with wit. I like this explanation too, maybe even more. The most striking manifestation of this new wit on Pentecost comes in what happens to St. Peter. In the Gospels, Peter is Jesus' favorite foil. He's big and loud and loyal and headstrong, but he never quite seems to be able to figure out for himself what's going on around him. This morning's epistle records what happened to his disciples on Pentecost. The wind and fire were accompanied with a new ability to speak in languages they had never learned. Jews who had come from all over the Mediterranean world to celebrate Pentecost were amazed when these uneducated disciples were able to praise God in languages they had never known. The more cynical observers said, "These babbling men must be drunk." Peter said, "These men are not drunk the way you think. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning," which is not always a compelling argument. Peter went on to say wittily that what was happening was the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy made centuries before in the book of Joel. The Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit, these mean exactly the same thing, appears in the world first at the creation. During the Old Testament period, God gives the Spirit to certain people for a certain length of time to perform certain tasks. We talk about that phenomenon in the Creed when we say that the Holy Ghost spake by the prophets. It was God's Spirit who literally inspired, breathed into them to tell what it was that he wanted them to say. Joel said that one day God would pour out his Spirit upon everyone. He would make it possible for everybody to have as much of his power as he wanted, anytime he wanted it. St. Peter got up on the first Whitsunday and said, "God is now fulfilling the promise he made through Joel. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." The wit that the Spirit gave St. Peter to interpret the Scripture and to preach was so much more powerful that 3,000 people who turned up that day were baptized in Christ. With the Holy Ghost, Peter was different from what he had been before. I'm sure that one of the reasons many of us have such a tough time with the Holy Ghost is that we cannot visualize the Holy Ghost. We know what it means for a father to talk to a son and a son the father, so we can generate a mental picture of that, but a ghost or a spirit is quite another matter. Jesus says the Holy Ghost is like the wind. You can see its effects on people, but you cannot tell where it is coming from or whether it's going. It is like trying to see the wind as it moves the branches of a tree. You can see what it is doing, but you cannot see it. Today's collect takes the ideas from what Jesus says in today's gospel and prays first for the Spirit to help us to make good decisions, and then that we will rejoice in the strength that He gives us. The way to make good decisions, as the collect puts it, to have a right judgment in all things, is to learn God's standards from the Bible and then try to apply them to the actual situations that we face every day. The Bible is the Holy Spirit's work. The Holy Spirit motivates us to study the Bible and helps us to learn from the Bible and apply the Bible's insights to all the decisions we face. And the Holy Ghost is also the one that keeps us tied to Jesus. By the Spirit, we live in God, and God lives in us. And as the Spirit helps us to know we are one with Christ, we also know that no bad decision or horrible event can ever separate us from Him. He dwells in us, and we in Him. So let us thank God today for the Holy Wit, which God bestows upon us by His Spirit. The same Spirit, as today's preface puts it, whereby we have been brought out of darkness and error into the clear light and true knowledge of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever. Amen.